Hey listeners, is your morning cup of coffee tasting a little less flavorful than you expected? The secret to a great cup is starting with fresh beans, and at Joe Bean Roasters, they roast and ship daily, so you get super fresh coffee every single time. If you want to level up your morning routine, check out their new Guide to Brewing Better Coffee at Home, which covers everything from grind size to water quality. You can get cheap shipping straight to your door or choose convenient local pickup at Joe Bean or at Peppermint. Head to JoeBeanRoasters.com and use the promo code LUNCHADOR10 at checkout for 10% off your order. Thanks to Joe Bean for sponsoring the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Good morning. How's it going? Thank you so much for listening today. Appreciate you being here. It is, do I have a new Aura ring? Yes, I do. My wife got me an Aura ring for my birthday. If you don't know what that is, O-U-R-A. It's like a fitness ring. It tracks things like activity, sleep, stress, calories burned, steps, things like that. Is this the second time my wife has gotten me something to do with fitness for a birthday? Sure is. Was the other time a scale? Sure was. Are we clocking that? Yes. Are we commenting beyond this? No. No comment. We'll leave that there. A couple things I want to talk about before we get to Laura today. We're talking Rochester by water, but I want to talk about the Rochester Broadway Theater League 2026-2027 season because it's an awesome lineup. And we had an awesome lineup this year as well. You know, Wicked, Kimberly Akimbo, really good season this year. Clue earlier this year was awesome. All good shows still to come. Suffs, Neil Diamond musical in a few weeks. Hamilton was not technically part of the season. I know you're thinking he left out Hamilton. Technically, Hamilton was an add-on, but also Hamilton, sure. This next season, we have Boop, Hell's Kitchen, the Alicia Keys musical, Sound of Music, The Notebook, Jersey Boys, The Lion King, and The Outsiders. Wow. That's hit after hit right there. You got new stuff, you got old stuff, you got Sound of Music at Christmas time, you've got the family engagement with The Lion King. That's going to be 2 weeks, by the way, Lion King. First week, season ticket holders. Second week, I buy an extra ticket, bring my kid. It's going to be really good. You've got, again, like classics, right? We talked about Jersey Boys, Boop. Boop is old school. I don't know if that's a classic musical, but it's old school. Of course, Sound of Music is classic. The Outsiders has just won a ton of awards. It's just a really, really good season. Only thing I kind of wished I would have seen come in was Death Becomes Her, but I'm pretty sure we'll see that next season because I do see it's coming to Buffalo this season. But man, I upped my season tickets in 8 minutes. They were available at 8 o'clock p.m. the night of the announcement. I bought my season tickets by 8:08. I did. All right. Do I want to talk about this or not? I had in my notes, I did have one other thing I want to talk about, but I don't. Here's why it comes up. I was on Instagram and I saw this young lady who I've never met, but I have talked to on the phone. Local girl saying she got laid off. Her name is Hope and she worked for WBEE, the country music radio station in town. And I feel terrible for her. Of course, anybody who's a victim of radio, I feel terrible for. And, you know, I talked about this a couple years ago, but I never said who. And it was Hope. It was a girl that I talked to on the phone a couple years ago. Because Hope has she's like an influencer. She's got thousands of followers on the social medias. And so she was calling me. Someone had said, call Paulie to find out how you were able to kind of melt your business in with your on-air time. And I told her we worked it into the contract because that type of thing isn't strictly legal. You need to have a lot of paperwork saying you're allowed to do that. There's a law called Plugola. Look it up. So I told Hope, I go, here, we worked it into the contract. I even fought with Hope. She never knew this. I fought with her boss over it. I sat on a board with her boss and I told her boss that's how we did it. And she was like, well, you can't do that. And I was like, well, we can. She says, no, you can't. And I'll tell you what, I've been gaslit by radio management one too many times. So it ain't happening to me anymore. So I let it go that day, went home, got the contract, printed it, and in our next board meeting, brought it and put it down in front of her. And I was like, yes, you can. And I had highlighted all the language. Because I was Hope. I was exactly like her, right? I was young. I was kind of intimidated by the bosses. I mean, I was in radio for 15 years. I talk a lot of crap now about how to be tough in negotiation with radio managers and everything. But the truth is, for 14 out of those 15 years, I was terrible at it. I got beat up every time I went in there. I didn't get good till the end when I got confidence and started to build a business and started to see like, oh, they're not right with the things they're saying are wrong, right? Like, they're gaslighting me in a lot of these cases. So I got a little tougher towards the end. Honestly, it probably wouldn't have worked out for me long term. I'm sure I would have just gotten myself fired eventually, but it was going fine. I was relatively happy towards the end with the interactions I had with management. I didn't feel like I was getting pushed around at all. Like I said, probably would have eventually gotten punished for that. But I told Hope that day, I said, you need to go in the office. You need to say, you know, X, Y, Z. And I just remember she was nervous. She was like, I can't do that. You know, I can't even get a meeting with the boss. And I knew that was a problem right there. The decision maker, the actual decision maker, wasn't even willing to meet with her. I mean, I just wanted to say, just in case this gets back to her, I don't know her, so I don't want to pretend that I do. You're way better off, Hope. You're better off for it. You had a couple of years of exposure on the radio of people getting to know you and falling in love with you. Take that, parlay it, spin it, turn it into a snowball and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. Keep rolling, baby. You're going to be just fine. It reminds me, actually, just about a month ago, there was a local media personality. Now, this I need to keep very vague because this is happening in real time. Who I was with, who said to me, well, my contract's just about up, and they told me that I'm only going to get a 1% raise. And they were upset. They were like, and that's, you know, they're saying, and that's just ridiculous. And I told this person, I said, well, you need to get a counteroffer. You need to go to the competition, and you need to get them to offer you more. And then either take it, be prepared to take it, or go back to your current employer and have them match it or beat it. But they're not going to do it out of the kindness of their heart. They're going to have to be forced into it. And this person looked at me horrified. I can't do that. I can't negotiate that way. That's hardball. Well, yeah, that's what they're doing with you by telling you it's 1% and that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're playing hardball. You got to play hardball back. And I told her, I go, look, you got to be, the only way you can ever really be able to win a negotiation is if you're willing to walk away. It's the only way you can be guaranteed to win. Which she wasn't, in fairness. Oops, I gave away her gender. I'm sorry. But this person was not willing to walk away, which is really what it came down to. But I even went one further and I said, look, I know one of your competitors' general managers well, and I could get them to meet with you. And they will, you know, I don't know that they would make you an offer, but they love the idea of snatching talent from the other place, right? Why don't you let me make an introduction? And they just looked at me like I had, you know, two heads. And I realized at that point, like, all right, back off. It's not your battle to fight. But I just hate media management, you know, bullying the young people and getting them to work for way cheaper than they should. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like to see it. All right. Hey, it's episode number 299. Next week, Janine from Avino. She's on. She was the first guest ever back on the News Radio Wham 1180 Food and Wine Show about 10 years ago. Hundreds and hundreds of episodes back. About 6 years ago, we turned into a podcast, and there's been 300 podcast episodes. 200 was Brother Weeze, I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah. 300, of course, will be Janine. And it's not episode 300 overall, though. This has got to be episode 600 or 700 when you count the old radio show days. But anyway, it's going to be awesome. I'm very excited to have her on to talk to her. It's been since then that I had her on, so it's going to be great. But in the meantime, got a great number 299 here for you. Please welcome, and I cannot wait to go on a couple of times this summer, a cruise on either the Rivery or the Sam Patch. But anyway, Director of Operations from Rochester by Water, formerly Cornhill Navigation, Laura Mack. Laura, let's do it. What do you say?
Hey, so good to be here.
Thank you for being here. Can I tell you what I was looking up on my phone when I was getting all mad real quick?
Sure.
It's because I went and did blood this morning, which means earlier, like if you saw me earlier, man, I was hangry. You ever have to fast, do blood and fast?
I've actually never given blood.
Are you young and healthy? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Well, listen.
I should give blood.
My guess is I got about 20 years on you and about 150 pounds on you. They start making you go give blood. And I had one thing came back as abnormal, but it's the one that's always abnormal. It's for, well, not for everyone, just for me. It's the good cholesterol is abnormal. So then I see, just as I sat down with you, when I was like, do you mind if I just read this real quick? My doctor sent a message attached to that one. So I clicked on it thinking like, he's going to tell me either, this is it for you. It's all over. You're going to die. Or, hey, don't worry about this. You're going to be fine. And instead he goes, we'll discuss Thursday, which means how am I supposed to sleep?
Yeah, that's not great.
No, I agree.
Transparency is nice. And if your doctor is reaching out to you about that stuff, they should just give you a call.
Yeah,
let you know what's going on.
I agree.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyway, so it's such a perfect day for you to be here. Yeah. And this doesn't come out for a couple of weeks. So it doesn't make any sense for us to talk about the weather. However, you happen to be here on that day that everyone can remember back a couple of Mondays ago when it was like 70 degrees.
Yep.
And we're talking about going boating. It's perfect. You brought it with you.
I know. I was on the way here and I was like, oh man, this is boating weather. I wish the boats were in the water right now and we could bring passengers on board.
Yeah. Where are they, by the way? Do they stay just docked there or do you guys put them away somewhere?
So we have them at Erie Canal Adventures in Macedon.
Cool.
So they're lifted up out of the water. They are put on stilts on land Sand Patch and Rivery stay there for the winter time.
Okay. So let's do this a little bit different than normal. So Rochester by Water, brand new, by the way, right?
Rebrand. We're not brand new. We've been around, but new rebrand.
Well, what was the previous name?
Cornhill Navigation.
Right. Okay. So rebranded.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to understand. So are you the owner or you're like the executive director, the CEO? What's your...
So I'm the director of operations.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Is it owned by anyone or is it like...
It's a nonprofit. We are, you know, managed by a board.
Yeah.
We have a chair, a treasurer. We have a secretary. We have 14 board members that are all very engaged. It's a very much a working board.
Yeah.
And then it's me and myself and Patrick Russell Walsh. Well, Bebo Walsh. He just got married this past week. And it's the two of us full time year round. And then in May, when the boats hit the water, we go to 40 staff members.
Yeah. Then captains, you got operations, man.
Yeah. Oh, captains, crew, ticket booth staff. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So what is the origin story? But I kind of want to do your origin story too.
Sure.
But also that of the Rivery and the Sand Patch. Because Sand Patch, I think I remember from even when I moved here in 2007. That's been around forever, hasn't it?
Yes.
How long has Sand Patch been around?
So the nonprofit was started in 1991, and Sand Patch was built for the organization. It's a steel hull vessel.
Wow.
It was built by the Wiles family, who owned Mid Lakes Navigation at that time. They built Sand Patch along with the other boats that you see probably on the canal that people can rent for a whole week and use up and down the canal system.
Yeah.
They'll train you how to captain the vessel and everything.
Oh, really?
That's so cool. Yeah, it's very cool. So Sand Patch is one of their siblings, and Sand Patch is a great vessel. It's been running, obviously, since 1991, but we've done some major upgrades. We got it a new engine last year, and it's completely in a big renovation stage right now. We gutted the entire cabin, floors and all, and we're redoing everything in the cabin. So,
and is that debuting 2026?
Yep, May 9th, 2026.
Buddy, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So what do you know about, if we go back to 1991, I know obviously you weren't around at the time, but 1991, what do you know about the origin of the idea by the family? What were they doing when they created Sand Patch? What was the idea? What would they have told you in 1991 was going to happen? Do you know? It's okay if you don't know.
Oh, sorry. Gosh. Well, what I do know is that Ted Curtis is one of the founders of Cornhill Waterfront and Navigation Foundation. That's our entire nonprofit name.
Mm-hmm.
So we now go by the DBA of Rochester by Water. Ted Curtis had a vision of wanting to bring people on our historic waterways because there was a sense that we kind of turned our backs to our backs to the waterways, right? The Erie Canal and the Genesee River. There was a view of them being dirty, unclean. Mm-hmm. But the vision was, you know, Ted Curtis said, he's like, I know I'll be successful if I see blue herons return to the Genesee River. And I can tell you right now that being on Rivery, our boat that docks in Cornhill Landing, we see blue herons throughout the entire season. Aww. It is beautiful. The wildlife, the flora, the fauna is absolutely incredible on the Genesee River.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, we're able to bring, this past year, we brought over 24,000 passengers on our waterways between two vessels.
And there's, I know you offer a bunch of different experiences between the two different rides, but some of them are like guided too, right? Where they're actually narrating it at times. Isn't that right?
Yes. So we have a ton of different cruise options. Yeah. We have live narration cruises where our deckhand gives a history of the Erie Canal and or Genesee River, depending on the cruise you're on.
I was on one of those.
Okay.
And I don't think it was even on purpose. I think it was just a matter of like, let's go today at 3 o'clock or whenever the next one was, last minute, kind of just buy the tickets, you know, the day before or something. And it was one of those and it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved the history aspect of it. Cool. It's so much so that I think I went again and it didn't have the narration. It was just like a sightseeing cruise. And I was like, I kind of missed the narration, you know?
Yeah. Well, so with that being said, so we have the live narration cruises, but then we also have like music cruises. We have birding cruises. Yeah. We have a sip and sail series with our friends at Flight Wine Bar, hell Sue yeah. Reuter, who I'm sure you know.
Absolutely.
and, you know, we just have a lot of fun. And with the narration, that is, you know, our main mission is to educate and make people aware of our waterways and the history that it holds for our region. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on ways to make that history accessible to everyone, depending, you know, based on what cruise you come on, that information will be available to you through a variety of ways.
Yeah, it's great. So. It really is great. And also Colonial Bell, who I imagine it kind of feels like in this city, you guys probably aren't competitors. I would imagine you guys are friendly. What's the term I just heard? Charities don't call each other competitors. They call each other, I can't remember.
Companions or?
Close. It's something like that. But I'm kicking myself because I can't remember the word. But somebody said it and I went, oh, yeah, that's brilliant. Because like I'm involved in some charities in town. And when it comes to mentorship, I'm with Big Brothers Big Sisters. But nobody looks at comp here as bad or the competition. It's kind of like rising tide floats all boats. Oh, that's perfect.
Hey, look at that. There we go. Rising tide floats all
but
boats.
But same thing with, I was going to say same thing with Colonial Bell, which we love doing that at least once a year. We usually do Sand Patch. I don't think I've been on Rivery yet. Fun fact about Rivery, I was supposed to be on Rivery. And I know the exact day I was supposed to be on. I think it was early. July 31st, 2024, I think. Was that like okay. when it was brand new? Was it pretty brand new?
So it was
new?
Brand new in 2023.
Okay, all right. The reason I know is because I was Rotary president at the time.
Okay.
And the Rochester Rotary came on the boat. Yeah. And that day is the day that I couldn't go. I had to skip it. And I got business person of the year that day.
Oh.
And so that day's etched in my head. But I had to skip the cruise. But it ended up being worth it because I won. If I had lost, I'd have been like, damn. Actually, we should have gone on the cruise.
Well, with that being said, I did listen to your most recent episode with Adam with Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Chicken Out.
And I learned that it's your birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So I did bring you a little birthday gift.
Oh.
I brought you a gift card to come on
so
Rivery
nice.
Anytime you want, along with information about the organization.
You have no idea how excited I am. Thank you so much
for
this.
You're welcome. Yeah.
This is so nice of you. So generous of you.
Yeah.
This is I'm so excited. Do you have any idea how happy my wife is going to be with us? My kids love it too. We love going on these. I have so many pictures from Sand Patch and Colonial Bell too, but Sand Patch, I mean, we just so many pictures from us. We have such a good time. Yeah. All right, let's get to the business.
Yeah.
The charity aspect. What exactly is the charity aspect? Is it educational or like how is it a not-for-profit exactly?
Educational. So okay. We bring over 3,400 students on board our vessels every year. We have fourth grade history lessons on Sam Patch. So in the spring and fall, we run those cruises. It's a chaotic time because we're running a 9:30 and 11:30 school trip with fourth graders, and they're so excited. They have, you know, they've been prepped for this, and they get to come on a boat during the school day.
That's the best.
It's just the best.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so that's our program on Sam Patch. And then our program on Rivery is our environmental education on the Genesee program, where we bring every single fifth grader through the Rochester City School District on board our vessel for hands-on science. They are measuring, pH levels of the water. They're doing a physical characteristic station. They're looking around the area. They're seeing if there's any trash in the water. They're looking at if there's parking lots and what do parking lots mean for our river. If there's rain, what's the runoff going to look like into our river?
Wow.
So it's an amazing experience. And the kids that are coming on this boat, some of them have never been on a boat before. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in our city. We're in the city where they've been born, where they're being raised, where they go to school. And, you know, we're making this accessible to them. And it's really an incredible experience to see a kid who's maybe scared and maybe even crying to get on the boat. We'll never force anyone to get on the boat if they don't want to.
Oh, but yeah. How do you make that call? Like when a kid is getting a little, or when a 73-year-old woman like my mother is going, I don't think I can make that step. You know, how do you make the call on make them do it or not?
Well, so we do our best to be present in the moment. And, you know, really what it takes is to talk them through it and say, you know, this is a safe trip. We have life jackets on board. We have all these things available. We go through safety training. We are on a federal waterway, so we have to go through the U.S. Coast Guard for inspections and for training. But if that doesn't work, we will make an exception and we'll let you, you know, bow out for that time. And, you know, hopefully if you get the courage to come again. But we do understand that sometimes it can be scary for folks, and we do our best to be prepared for that.
So it's awesome what you guys are doing. I mean, so you're running these rides that are open to the public. Obviously people buy tickets, whatever money you make goes to operate the organization, but then also all those kids, that's nobody's paying for that, right? Those kids are getting the education for free. That is beautiful. I love that so much. It's such a great thing. The Sam Patch in the 90s into the 2000s, everything you said, the goal was just, hey, just bring people back to make the public go back out on our waterways and embrace it kind of as a community. At what point did it flip to a not-for-profit, or was it always from day one?
It's always been not-for-profit. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And so the fifth grade environmental education on the Genesee trips are fully funded through grants and through donations. Sam Patch, you know, those trips, the tickets that we get on trips subsidize those trips, so we can make them a lot more affordable to the schools so they can bring, you know, the students and chaperones and things on board.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's switch over to you for a second.
Okay.
If we could. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in Rochester. I'm a Rush Henrietta kid.
Rush Henrietta kid?
Yeah.
It's, what were you going to be? Like, what were you going to be when you grew up? What was your goal?
You know, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be in the classroom. I have had the gratitude to have amazing teachers throughout my grade school, elementary all through high school. So I was like, I'm going to be in the classroom. I'm going to be an elementary school teacher, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And clearly that's not how it turned out.
Is that what you went to college for then, or what?
Yeah. So I went to Lemoyne College in Syracuse, which is a small Jesuit liberal arts college. I went to school. My major was psychology. And my minor was childhood special ed.
Me too, by the way. Not the childhood special ed, but the psychology. I'm with you, buddy.
Psychology really helps out in a lot.
Oh, yeah. I need it.
Yeah. So I did everything I needed to do to get certified as a New York State education teacher. But then my senior year, I actually decided, I was like, I don't think I can do this. I needed to pivot. I needed time. And so that's when I entered the Jesuit Volunteer Corps AmeriCorps program. So I was in there for 2 years.
You are such a beautiful soul. You just said, I'm going to go help people. Like, that's like, what a great thing. So what was that program like?
Well, I lived in two different cities that are amazing, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Portland, Oregon.
Amazing. Yeah.
I lived in intentional community with with four girls my first year and five girls my second year.
Whoa,
I,
what does that mean? Intentional community?
So intentional community means that you live with a group of people, and you, there's four pillars of the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. It's spirituality, social justice, community, and simple living.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So you pulled that out.
Right.
But yeah.
That was pretty good. You're honestly close. I'm gonna just pat myself on the back for that one. those 2 years of my life were transformative. I worked for incredible nonprofits, and part of the intentional community aspect is that with those four pillars, every week you're doing something in relation to one of those pillars. I think we brought home like $400 a month, each of us, and we had to figure out where our money was going. We had to grocery shop together. We had a joint bank account. We had to decide between milk or ice cream. Ice cream won every time. Because you can, you know, use ice cream as milk.
Well, here's the thing.
As creamer.
The calories go further, right? You need 2,000 calories a day. You can just kind of like eat, you know, you can eat a lot of calories without a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Well, that's a really cool program, though. So, like, you're working as a team, basically. You've got this little bit of a, I wouldn't even call it a salary. That's a stipend, basically.
It was a stipend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you guys had to make tough decisions on how to live. So, I'm imagining, like, I'm sure you had electricity and running water, but I'd imagine you didn't have, did you do internet? Did you do, like, cable? Like, what did you guys cut? Because you didn't have a lot of money between all of you.
So, we had to have a meeting, Wi-Fi. A community meeting about those things. Okay. And we would set a time and we'd sit down at the dining room table and we would discuss, is this important to us? What do we need to cut in lieu of this? My first year we decided to have internet because most of my community mates were applying to grad school. And so they needed internet in order to apply for those grad school programs. So that was something that we ended up doing. Whereas my year in Oregon, we decided to go without internet and use the library and use cafes instead of having internet in our homes.
Cool.
But great memories because we had a VHS player and we would go to the library and get VHSs, play them at our house. Yeah. And, you know, we had a piano, we had ukuleles, and we would just sit and be present with each other.
You're a hippie? Is that what you're trying to
say? A little, yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely are. Okay, we need advice. All of us need advice.
Okay.
You grocery shopped on a budget, right?
Yeah.
What are some tips you can give us for grocery shopping on a budget?
Oh, man. All right. Lentils.
Yeah.
Lentils are my favorite thing. I actually, for my birthday in Oregon, I was gifted a 15-pound bag of lentils, and I named him Lenny. And that was, like, lentils, like any legume, rice, beans, those things are so high in protein and so cheap. And also soaking your own beans. People go, I don't really do it that much, mainly because of time saving. But if you buy dry beans and you soak them overnight and you do the thing, that is the cheapest way to make a good meal. And you can doctor up beans in any way. That's amazing.
Yeah, because you can, and it all stretches a lot too. Like you said, it's a lot of protein, it's a lot of food. You can have a lot of food for a little bit of money on those things, and you can stretch that quite a bit.
Exactly.
Learning how to cook from scratch, I think, is something that's gone. And I'm not like a master at cooking from scratch by any means, but I did this thing a couple of Thanksgivings ago where I took the challenge of, can you make a whole Thanksgiving dinner for $43? Because, you know, every year they put out the, like, Thanksgiving this year costs $43.
Yeah.
And then everybody comments and says, that's impossible. I spent $300. Well, yeah, because you bought your pies pre-made. You bought your bread pre-made. You bought everything pre-made. If you actually scratch cook all of this stuff, it is actually really cheap to make Thanksgiving, and I was able to do it. But it's, you have to be kind of good in the kitchen to be able to be stealthy in the grocery store, I think.
Yeah, and I'm like, one of my superpowers, I have a couple of them, but yeah. I would say one of my superpowers is being resourceful, like in the kitchen. I substitute things. I recently made banana bread and I didn't have buttermilk. And sometimes I normally do either like plain yogurt or sour cream. But this time around, I just had a gallon of milk and it has to be like a thick consistency for the right banana bread you want. And so I added lemon juice in. Nice. I had a lemon and it thickened the milk and it ended up being like some of the best banana bread I've ever made.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to throw out vinegar. I thought that like milk and vinegar would work, right? Like, yeah.
I actually ran out of vinegar because
I had lemon juice.
Yeah. So I had lemon juice. Yeah. So, you just become resourceful.
This experience you had, those 2 years, it sounds hard, obviously, but it sounds like you just, what did you say? Is the most transformative experience of your life?
Yeah, most transformative. Amazing. And foundational. Okay. Experience.
Was it always going to be 2 years or did you tap out after 2 years?
I tapped out after 2 years. Normally that's kind of the timeline you go. I also just kind of felt like my time was ready to come back home and mm-hmm. to establish myself back in my roots in Rochester.
So you come back and like, what do you do first?
Well, I was fun employed. I was applying for jobs. I was volunteering at our community bikes, actually, a little bit. Oh. Have you heard of that organization?
Is that where you rent the bike and drive around town?
No. So our community bikes is a nonprofit that will refurbish donated bikes and give them out to our community members who need transportation.
Yeah.
They do sales every year. They are an amazing organization. And I'm a big public transit person. Love public transportation. That's a whole other topic, though. And
can we talk about it for a second, though?
Sure.
I was just in New York a couple weeks ago. I just love the fact that, yeah, it's like $1.50 or something, whatever it is right now. I put $20 on a Metro card. I went around New York the whole day. Mm-hmm. For like 3 days, I never reloaded that card.
Yeah.
Get anywhere in just a few minutes. The subway system, to me, it's not that. I know some people look at that map, they can't figure it out, but it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. And people will help you if you do have questions. Like, it made me long for it. And when I was in Singapore last year, I went on this tour and they were talking about the public transportation. And in Singapore, they've done a ton to incentivize their people mm-hmm. to use public transport. They've got safety agents all over the place, employees that just work at the bus stop, not on the bus. They work just at the bus stop. And one thing they've done is they've actually made it really expensive to own a car so that they don't get congestion. But Singapore, going around there, you could get anywhere you wanted for cheap, for mm-hmm. a buck or something. It's sad when I look at that Rochester had a subway system at one point. It would have been so cool if that was kept up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Evan Dawson. Join me on the Connections podcast, where we dig into the stories and the issues shaping our community with the people at the heart of all of it. And you can be part of that conversation. Listen to Connections with Evan Dawson wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Chris Lindstrom, the host of the Food About Town podcast. If you want to learn more about the Rochester food and drink scene and beyond, with a good dose of nerdery and personal stories on top, then Food About Town is for you. I've been writing and podcasting for over 10 years, and I'm so thankful for all the support from the community. Subscribe to the Food About Town podcast today and hear from the people that make and love the food and beverages you can't stop enjoying.
So, no, I love public transportation, and I use our RTS system from time to time, especially when my car was stolen in 2021. Oh, I started taking the bus, and it was great.
Yeah,
and when I worked for U of R for a short period, my employee badge gave me access to RTS, which was awesome.
That's great.
So
this whole time, we haven't talked about the water yet. Like, is water part of your life throughout this part of your life so far? Did you boat at all? Go boating? No, not really.
I had experiences here and there, like renting a pontoon boat for a friend's birthday in the Finger Lakes, sailing with a friend, but
just regular stuff. Nothing.
Yeah, regular stuff. So
then how does the job come around with what was at the time known as Cornhill Navigation?
So my life is full of twists and turns, and I was working for U of R at the time, and I didn't love my job there. You know, nothing against U of R, but it just wasn't for me. And so then I signed up for the city walking tour. So sometimes the the Genesee Land Trust. Have you heard of the Genesee Land Trust nonprofit? They will host events throughout the year. And one of the things that they hosted was a free walking tour in the city of Rochester to talk about the architecture, talk about public transportation, public urban design. And it was led by the city planner. So I show up, it's a Saturday morning, and I actually wasn't going to go because it was in March. It was freezing cold. It was raining. And I was just like burnt out from life. And then I opened up my phone and got an email from the organizer. And she's like, hey, you know, I know it's rainy. We're still going to have this go on. There will be coffee and donuts. And yeah. I was like, oh, man. I'm in. All right. I'm in. If there's going to be hot coffee and donuts.
Yeah.
That can pull me out of bed. So I actually that is my story. I honestly wasn't going to go because it was a free registration. And I was like, oh man, it's a Saturday morning. So I pull myself out of bed. I get downtown. We meet at the Rundle Library and I have my rain jacket on, but I don't have an umbrella. And there's this guy standing there with an umbrella and he offers to share it with me. I was like, oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you so much. As I have my coffee and I have my donut. And, I start talking to this guy and his name is Patrick Russell Walsh. And he's like, you know, we're just talking about what we do. And he's like, I just became the executive director of this nonprofit called Cornhill Navigation. And I was like, I don't know that nonprofit. And being in the Jesuit Volunteer Corps AmeriCorps program with my experience of nonprofits and growing up here in Rochester, I'm pretty good at knowing nonprofits and knowing what resources are available to people. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of it. And then he's like, well, we operate the Sam Patch. I was like, oh, I know the Sam Patch. You know, I know the boat, but I don't know the organization. I don't know the nonprofit. And so he's like, yeah, you know, we're actually adding a boat. We are looking for a director of operations. So if you think of anyone, send them my way. And so that was just kind of it. We had a pleasant morning. And then later in the day, I get an email from the organizer of the event. And she's like, hey, this guy keeps reaching out to me wanting your contact info. Is it okay if I give it to him? And I was
so did something to impress him. Like, you must have talked all morning, I would assume.
I honestly don't really really remember what our whole conversation was about. But it was really...
Did you tell him about the two-year thing where you lived on... lentils?
I don't think so. No,
I was going to say that. I hire you in a heartbeat for that. Look, she can do anything.
But yeah, no. He, you know, he asked for my contact info. I told the organizer, I was like, thank you for asking me. And yes, you can share my info. That would be fine. And so he sends me the job description. And I went in for an interview the day that they got the keys to our current office. Like there was no furniture in there. The board members and Patrick brought chairs from their homes for my interview. And
what a great time to start though, because you felt like you were starting almost ground level at that point, right?
Yeah. Like truly was.
You feel like a founding member kind of in that way.
It felt like a blank slate.
And the fact that Rivery was just about to come online in the near future at that time, right? So it was like you felt, I could see where you would look at that and go, what an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
Definitely. What was the story behind Rivery?
So Rivery is a vessel that we received a pretty sizable grant for, and there was a lot of fundraising in addition to the funding that we got to build that vessel. Our board members and staff at the time actually drew the blueprints and worked very closely with Scirano Boat Builders out in Albany, New York. And the vision behind that is that we had not had a boat in downtown Rochester since the Mary Jemison. So it was essentially a decade, a decade before. So 2013, a boat had not been in downtown Rochester. And our name is Cornhill Navigation, or was Cornhill Navigation. And our office, you know, we wanted an office in Cornhill. And that is also the dock or the harbor of the city of Rochester. And so the idea was that the organization wanted to fundraise to bring a boat back downtown to the city. And so to do that, we received the funding.
How long did it take you guys to save up? I know it probably predated you a little bit. They're saving up all that money, right? But That had to take a long time.
Yeah,
unless there was like one person that came through and wrote a big check, but I'd imagine if it was piecemealed, it probably took years.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if I can speak on that because I wasn't part of the development committee and things at the time.
Yeah.
But I do know that, you know, it took a long time and a lot of energy to, you know, to get that idea up and running. And I'm so grateful that for the work of our board members and everyone involved in the organization to make that happen, because Rivery truly is such an important asset to the city of Rochester.
Yeah, I haven't been on it yet. I'm going to soon.
I know.
But I haven't been on it yet because I missed the damn July 31st day. I can't wait.
I mean, I'm just so grateful that we have this available to people who live here, who grew up here their whole lives, who are coming back maybe for the first time since college, mm-hmm. who are in college from another state and want to learn more about our area. It's nice having a downtown location, because talking about accessibility, talking about transportation, you can walk to our dock. You know, like if you live in a neighborhood close by, we do have buses and we do have bike lanes and we do have those things for people to come to our dock and to take a ride sometime.
Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the day the River Reef actually showed up? Because by then you're working there, right? The day it shows up. Does it show up? I mean, listen, no piece of equipment that I've ever known of shows up and it's just perfect, right? Like, you got to get stories about the day it showed up and you're like, oh, it was supposed to work. It was supposed to run.
Well,
you wanted a motor? Sorry, we didn't know.
So the boat does run. Okay, like the boat is great.
I'm just making that up. I'm saying there's always hiccups.
There's always hiccups. And we have an incredible team of people who have been in the marine industry for a long time. One of our board members holds a 500-ton master's license. Done like oil rigs. Like, he's really amazing.
So people were just like, God, give me the flippers, I'll get in there and fix it.
Well, yeah, yeah. We do have people that have an eye for this stuff and can be advocates and really you know, vocalize what needs to be done. Because me coming on, I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking for, right? I've never worked with boats before. So here I am, just showing up for a boat ride. But it takes a team. It takes a team to make the boats float. And when Rivery was delivered, so a team of ours actually had to bring it from Albany to Rochester.
It's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
People got to go and do it.
Yeah, this was in the fall of 2022.
Yeah.
And so they brought the boat down the Erie Canalway, and then it went right into essentially winter storage until May of 2023 for our launch. And you asked me what that was like to be a part of all of that. Truly, sometimes I look back and I really don't remember. I kind of like blacked out. There was so much going on. I was building tables in the office. I was building patio furniture, like out of boxes. I was trying to figure out staffing and training. And I mean, I was a fish out of water, honestly.
Yeah, but you can figure it out. I mean,
yeah.
Again, those 2 years just tells me you resourceful. Like, you resourceful, also resilient.
Yes.
You can just figure it out. And I think that's what that guy saw on you that day, the executive director mm-hmm. saw on you that day. And he's like, this is a girl who's just going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Self-starter, as they say. So mm-hmm. Rivery, you guys, you buy the Rivery after a bunch of fundraising. Now you're telling me that you guys are revamping the Sam Patch and that's going to debut here in May. You guys must be doing a really good job. Do you feel like you guys, and you rebranded, which we're about to talk about, right? I mean, you guys are just on fire right now, it feels like. Is that the vibe? I know you've been there a few years, maybe not a few decades, but is that the vibe from folks who have been around this for a long time, the board members, the executive? Is everybody like, we are on fire right now. This is going as good as it's ever gone?
Oh, yeah. Everyone on our board, all of like Friends of Cornhill Waterfront and Navigation Foundation are just jaws on the floor. I mean, we haven't experienced this in such a long time. And, you know, when Patrick and I came on, because he became the executive director just a month before I came on board as director of operations.
Oh, so when you guys went for the coffee and donuts, he was like brand new.
Yeah, he was brand new. Yeah, yeah. So both of us started around the same time. And so it has been the trajectory of what we've been able to do has just been absolutely insane. And a lot of that has to do with our team and with people who believe in the organization, believe in its mission, and are here to make really solid long-term plans for the organization to evolve and to survive from here on out.
I want to talk about the rebranding because this is a big deal. And a lot of the reason why you're here, right, was because you guys, after all of those years of Cornhill Navigation, said, let's become Rochester by Water. But can you give us the inside story? Not the necessarily the PR story. We can we could do the PR story too. That's fine. Yep. But I want to hear the, like, what I love is about businesses and not for profits, but in this case, the same thing, right? Is like, what was the problem? Do you know what the problem was identified with Cornhill Navigation? What were you guys sitting in board meetings kind of kicking each other going like, you know, that name, it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's leaving something to be desired. We should consider a rebrand. Like, do you know the origin story of how that all came to be?
Yeah, because I was a part of it. From what I know,
Look at that professional.
From what I know, the board has talked about changing the name for a while, especially with bringing Rivery, the new boat, on. That's really kind of when the new name idea started. But the organization did not have enough money for a rebrand. I'm unsure if you're aware of how much a rebrand costs, but it is
every sign. Every business card that's ever been printed, everything. The whole web redesign, everything.
It's an undertaking.
I imagine this has been at least a year in the works, right?
Yeah. So essentially, we received a grant to, I don't know if you've ever been to Cornhill Landing to where our office is, but, you know, we have Flight Wine Bar, we have Rabbit Hole Tavern, we have 809.
Mm-hmm. I've been many, many, many times. Not in your exact office, right, but many times, especially back in the Tony D's days. I have stumbled around there before.
Yeah, it's a great area. We have a corner office, but we have no signage. We have nothing that says our name. The windows have nothing about who we are. Mm. And so that's part of, like, when we put in for that grant, we wanted to have building signage. And when it came time to really start talking about that, we're like, wait a second, if we want to change our name, are we really going to spend all this money on signage and put up a name that we might eventually change? And so that's when we were like, all right, I mean, we just got to rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah. We've just got to make it happen.
So it was being kicked around forever, and then it was, let's buy a sign, and then it was, well, if we're going to buy a sign.
Right, because signage is expensive.
Yeah,
right? And totally. We're going to have pole banners going down the riverway there. It's going to be so beautiful and so elevated. I like the word elevated.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. But it took us a lot of time to get to Rochester by Water. I can tell you that we went over 300 names easily.
Oh, man. Were there any almosts? I love a good almost. Was there a second place that you remember that was so close? And you guys had to, like, vote on it, and Rochester by Water barely won.
You know, yeah, I want to say, like Flower City Cruises.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
came up and things like that. But, you know, nicknames are interesting because nicknames don't always stay. You know, like, they don't always have.
Yeah.
I don't know. In Flower City, if people are coming here, they might not know what Flower City is. So we really wanted the
good thinking,
the weight of Rochester, Rochester by Water. That's where we are. That's the region where we are going to be operating our nonprofit.
Well, you guys are transparent as all hell too. You get your revenue right in your booklet.
Yeah, we got everything.
That's pretty good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I noticed you got a nice little chunk in grants there from one not-for-profit guy to another not-for-profit person here. Mm-hmm. You guys having issues with grants? Just less coming in than used to come in?
We're not.
No?
No.
Stop bragging.
What can I say?
Laura.
People love education and they love environment, at least most people love our environment. The polarizing politics might say different, but we have such a beautiful thing that we're offering here to our community and to people traveling. Tourism is a big deal, especially post-COVID. You know, New York State has been very supportive of what we do.
I saw you guys had Kathy Hochul on a cruise. Is that right?
We did. We did.
That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. It was so awesome to have her on board and to meet her.
I went to her press conference last week. She's tiny. She's short. She's little, but she gets up there to speak. She's big. You know, she's great at speaking. But everyone's coming out and it's like Malik Evans, Adam Bello, the Reverend, you know, over and over and over. And everybody is. Yeah. And then it's Kathy Hochul and I couldn't even see her. She's like, you know, again, when she gets to that podium.
Yeah. Well, and she's a huge supporter of the Erie Canal Way.
What kind of security did you have to do when she did hers? Did they sweep the whole boat type deal?
Yeah. It was so interesting being on that end of things. I think I heard in one of your podcasts that she was maybe looking to come speak here.
Yeah.
And it is a very interesting experience. All the people that you need to contact with and meet with multiple times prior to an event.
We got a little bit of a warning, and obviously she didn't end up coming here, so it didn't all happen, everything you had to go through. But I had a little bit of a warning as to what was going to happen if we were selected. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was gonna take up a lot of time to have her here. But it would have been really cool, but nonetheless. But what do you remember about that cruise? Was that pretty cool? Did you do one of your normal ones?
Really cool, yeah. And one of our deckhands sings the Erie Canal song on his ukulele. And so he did that. And it was just a beautiful day on the water. And she got to take the helm for a little bit, which was really cool. Her and her husband, from my understanding, have done the entire Erie Canal Way by boat.
They're
big fans of the waterway. So for her, I think it was just like very natural.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the Rochester by Water branding looks great, though. I mean, and it's a great name. I think you guys landed on the perfect name. All of this, I'm looking at some collateral right now, or like, you know, it's a flyer basically. Yeah. The photography is beautiful. RochesterByWater.org. And do you have, you probably don't have a calendar in here or anything. But
I don't have a calendar, but we have calendars all throughout our website for all of our cruises. You can search by date, by boat.
What's one of the two? I know you guys always do some creative stuff. I mean, we already talked about this a little bit, but what's one or two of the ones you have planned for 2026 that are just special kind of one night only things where you know you're going to sell out because it's just like a certain band coming or something? Do you have anything like that? By the way, full bar on the Rivery on any cruise I go on.
So we do canned cocktails, beer, and wine.
That's good.
When I came on board in 2023, I was a bartender as well at one point for the Hyatt downtown.
Yeah.
And I got very overwhelmed with boats have very limited space and we're operating in the heat of summer. So I was like, you know, we are now in the age of things where canned cocktails are actually pretty dang good.
Pretty good.
And it has made a world of difference. And people seem to really like them. We have Austin cocktails on the boat. We have a canned mimosa.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Do you do any dinner cruises?
We haven't done a lot of dinner cruises. We are bringing out our speaker series again. It's called Speaker Slice and Sail. So we're going to do pizza.
Nice.
As you get a presentation on the Erie Canal.
Yeah.
So we are going to do that. But the boat, as far as like a full dinner, like a plated dinner cruise, our boats are small.
Yeah, right.
In that you have to like make sure that the food is hot, that it's getting delivered. We don't have a lot of space for hot boxes. It just becomes a little bit of a logistical nightmare. For private charters, we work with approved caterers who are amazing, and they come on and they're able to do that for a whole group of people. But on an individual, like kind of ticketed cruise level, it's a little bit more difficult.
I know it's way easier than just what does it cost to, but for a private charter, you want to rent that boat, you want to rent, say, Rivery or Sand Patch, either way, I imagine they're not the same price. And I know there's a difference between a Monday at 2 o'clock versus a Saturday night, but you do offer rentals, right?
Yes, we do. Yep. So our private charter rentals start at $1,000, and that's for an off-peak charter, which is Monday through Friday. Well, Sunday night 4 p.m. to Friday 4 p.m. and then 4 p.m. Friday to Sunday, 4 p.m. It's $1,200 for a 90-minute charter.
That's nothing.
It's really... Yeah. I think it's very reasonable.
How many people get on there?
Our vessels fit 35 to 40 passengers.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And so we have bachelorette parties. We have, celebrations, birthdays, all those types of things. My goal is, have you heard of bro cruise? Are you on threads, like Instagram threads?
No.
There's like this whole like bro cruise thing.
How's it work?
It's just so funny. It's this viral thing of like a bachelor party going on a cruise ship. Yeah. And like some of them are just very unprepared, like haven't booked rooms, haven't done things. So I want to make sure we can have some like bachelorette parties on the boats this year. Good. It's just fun, you know, just good stuff.
Being in the industry, did you by any chance watch the documentary Poop Cruise?
Oh, yeah. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. Logistical operational nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely not. But with that said, our boats do have two nautical heads, as we call them, or restrooms. Uh-huh. And people always want to know if there's a restroom on board. So yeah. There are restrooms on our boats. We do have a lot that we offer folks for private charters, special events, those types of things. And you can work with any of our approved caterers.
Rivery takes off from Cornhill and Sam Patch from Pittsford. Is that right?
Yes. So Rivery takes off from Cornhill Landing.
Yeah.
And then Sam Patch in Pittsford.
Yeah. Just classic. I mean, obviously Rivery is the new one, but the Sam Patch is just classic Rochester. Like you said, even you knew it before you were even into boating or into this world. Everyone knows the Sam Patch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say at the beginning of the podcast that there's several brothers and sisters to the Sam Patch as well? The other boats that look like that?
Yeah.
I've always been like, it seems like there's more than one of those things.
Yeah. They're red and green. And they're named like different names, like Harriet.
And those are rentals, right? You don't even do regular cruises on those?
No. So those aren't owned by us. Those are owned by Erie Canal Adventures.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And they do a great job. Those boats have a kitchen on them.
Rising tide floats all boats.
Yep. They have bedrooms, bathroom, all that kind of stuff. So
cool. All right. Well, what did we miss? Anything?
Oh, gosh.
Anything you want to talk about? I'm so thankful for this birthday present, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a hero when I get home tonight. Kids are on spring break this week, so when I get home, my wife's going to be angry. Just in general.
She's got the kids all week.
Yeah, pretty much. And and so when I come home with this, that buys me one day back of can't be mad at me for going to work today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I guess one thing I did want to mention is that... our boat Rivery was designed with accessibility in mind.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
So
I saw that on the picture. You had a cruise full of folks in wheelchairs.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And so we are doing our best to make our experiences as inclusive as they can be. Rivery has a no-step entry. So we have a ramp. We're actually getting an extension to our ramp for this upcoming season, which I'm very excited about. We've been able, through a couple of the grants we've received, been able to bring some groups on the boat who have been able to give us some constructive criticism because, I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
And I need the feedback from the people who, require these adaptions and things from them for themselves.
You have to include it. They even have a saying, I think, says nothing about us without us, right?
Right.
So, if you're going to make decisions about us, we need to be in the room. So it's awesome you guys brought them in to consult.
Exactly. So yeah. I just wanted to put that out there that we are working on our inclusion, and we have a booking system where you can actually let us know before you come on the boat with us what you might need. So it preps our team so that we know you're coming. We want to be prepared. We don't want to be in a situation where we're trying to pivot. Although our team is very good, we train our team to make sure that they know all that they need to. But we want to make sure that you feel comfortable coming on our boats. And
I can only imagine, you don't have to share any stories, but I can only imagine you've had to do some pivots in real time. I mean, people on boats, man, sometimes people freak out. You just never know.
Yeah.
And I imagine you guys have had to do a couple of, Yeah.
Lots of pivots. But the thing is, it's honestly so rewarding to me. You know, having a family member who's disabled and requires, you know, certain needs, and then having friends and family members or friends as well. It means a lot to me that we can provide an experience that they can do with everyone, and that it's not just like, here's your activity and here you go do your activity. No, like, we want the whole family to be able to come. We want grandma to come. We want, like, you know,
my father is always been kind of afraid of boats. We used to rent a boat like every summer, and my father wouldn't go on the boat. So, but for my 40th birthday a few years ago, we went on a cruise, like a big family cruise, Royal Caribbean, you know, one of the big giant boats. And my father was so unfamiliar with what was going to happen that it came out, and he was so against it. He was like, I don't want to go. I don't like it. We kept telling him, you're going to have a great time. Because to me, I'm going, he'll drink. It's like all you can drink Pepsi, because he's not a drinker. All you can drink Pepsi, and you can watch sports in the sports bar. That was so foreign to him. When he heard boat, he thought for a week he was going to be sitting in a seat. It came out. This came out that he thought he had to wear a seatbelt for 7 straight days. Aww. And sit in a chair on a boat. And it was actually kind of sweet because he was going to do that for my birthday. Yeah. But then, you know, like explaining to him that, no, it's like a floating city. Like, you're going to go to a literal... Like, I remember telling him, there's like 24 restaurants on this boat. And he couldn't even fathom it. But then him actually doing it. But the reason I'm telling you the story is because now he's a little more comfortable with it. He's not going sailboating, don't get me wrong. But he would go on Rivery or Sam Patch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
I'm going to do it this summer. I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for coming all the way out to Bergen.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anything else that we missed? What do you think? We good? You want to take some sauce?
Yeah,
you want some sauce?
Definitely would
you
love
want the
some
tour?
Sauce.
I give you the tour, but it's a fully immersive tour, which means you get to mop part of the floor.
I see.
I'll give you sauce. I'll make it easy on you.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.